Well, good morning. God has blessed us with a beautiful sunshiny day yesterday and the rain of the night and a day today to come together to worship Him. We are so wonderfully blessed to be able to honor our God today, to draw close to Him, to remember His Son, to approach Him in prayer, listen to His Word for a while. As we think about the question this morning, whom are you following? We hope that you're following the Lord today. Whether you're visiting with us or regular member here at Eastside, we hope that it is your desire in life to follow the Lord, because He alone has the way to heaven. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Unfortunately, a lot of folks follow those who don't know the way to heaven, those who are blind. And Jesus said that if the blind lead the blind, will they not both fall into the ditch? In Luke chapter 6 and verse 39. I think most of us in life, whether we admit it or not, follow someone to some degree. I read a story not too long ago about a heavy snowstorm up north somewhere. Visibility was almost zero. A young woman had been at work, and she went out to get in her car, and the blizzard was just so thick she could barely see 3 or 4 feet in front of her. While she sat in her car, while it warmed up, she thought about her situation and how she might be able to get home. She finally remembered some advice that her daddy had given her, that if she got caught in a blizzard, she should wait for a snowplow to come by and then just follow the snowplow. So that's what she did. She just waited for a snowplow. And sure enough, it wasn't very long till one came by. That made her feel a whole lot better. She was, in fact, feeling somewhat smug when she pulled in behind the snowplow, and sure enough, she was able to drive her car without any difficulty. The snow wasn't deep, the path was cleared, and she followed the snowplow for some while. Eventually, though, the snowplow stopped, and the driver got out, came up to her window, rapped on the window, and she rolled her window down, and he said, "Ma'am, I noticed you've been following me for some time. Is there a problem?" And she said, "No." She explained her daddy's advice. She's just following the snowplow till she can, you know, make her way home. And he said, "Well, you can keep on following me if you want to, but I'm done with the Walmart parking lot and I'm fixing to go over to Kmart." So, you know, if you're following somebody, you need to be concerned about where that body is going. Where is that person going? Are they going someplace that you want to be? It's not just a matter of, is the path clear? There are a lot of paths that seem to be clear, but there's only one way that goes to heaven. And we should concern ourselves with following that clear path that goes to heaven. And the one that we're following will be the one who leads us there. I want to talk about following those who really don't know the way to begin with this morning. Those who are blind guides. And if we follow them, we're nothing more than the blind being led by the blind. It is unwise to follow those who are known to be mistaken or ignorant about spiritual things. That should be obvious on the face of it, but I think to a lot of people there are those, even in the Lord's church today, who have trouble understanding this very, very common sense truth. Would you look with me in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 5, actually. Jesus is speaking here in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, and He says, "When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites." He's telling us who not to be like. You see that? He's telling us who not to follow. "You shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." So you look at somebody, he's obviously living a hypocritical life. He may claim to be religious, but you just look at his life and you can see that person's not really very spiritual. He's always trying to go for the glory for himself. He's always trying to get attention for himself. He's always putting himself first. That's the kind of person Jesus is describing here. When it comes, why would you take your prayer tips from somebody like that? That's what Jesus wants to know. He says, don't do that. And then in the next verse, he says, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do." So here's another class of people who aren't spiritual. They don't have a relationship with God. They're pagan. They're heathen. Why would a Christian get tips on praying from somebody who's not even in a relationship with God. And yet I've known Christians who read, you know, the writings of some Hindu yogi, and that's going to help them meditate and pray. That makes no sense at all to me. Why would you go to somebody who doesn't even have a relationship with Christ to tell you how it is that you're supposed to pray to God? Jesus says, don't do that. Somebody who's mistaken, somebody who's known to be ignorant on a given spiritual point, don't get your tips from them. Don't follow them in that direction. And yet today we have all sorts of people, members of the Lord's church, reading books written by people who are known to be in error on the very point they're writing on, and swallowing what they're writing hook, line, and sinker. Jesus said, don't do that. Don't do that. Paul warned about walking like those who are religiously ignorant. He said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, thus I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. Don't follow the crowd of the world to do like they're doing. Don't follow them. Because, he says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. I've had multiple experiences over the years talking to sometimes young Christians, trying to figure out what to do in life, what career to pursue, who to marry, all of those kinds of things, big questions of life. And they're going around and they're getting advice from people at work, schoolmates who aren't Christians, actually have talked to people getting advice on marriage who are divorced, getting advice from divorced people on marriage. What do we think? Why in the world will you go to people who don't know how to live life to get advice about how to live life? It should be obvious to us that there are those that we should not follow. And we're going to wind up, if we do, in the same shape that they're in. I read about a fellow that was a counterfeiter, and he took a $10 bill and he counterfeited it, he thought, just absolutely perfectly in every detail. He even looked at it under a microscope, and in his eye, that was the perfect $10 bill. And about the first time he tried to pass it off, he got caught. And so when he was being interviewed by the Secret Service as a result of his counterfeiting, he wondered how in the world that was the perfect. I don't know how you guys saw that. Well, what had happened? They found out what had happened was that he did, in fact, make a perfect copy of the bill that he was working with, but that bill just happened to be counterfeit too. So if you copy a counterfeit, you're going to wind up with a counterfeit. If you copy something that's not real and it's not right, that's what you're going to have too. In life, let's follow those who know what they're doing. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But let's abstain from following those who are mistaken or ignorant. Let's abstain from following those whose God is money. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, Paul wrote that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. We're living in a world where materialism is rampant. I just heard a news story yesterday that still it is the case on Wall Street, still it is the case in the business world of America, that greed is good. That's what we're told. That's what people think. That the more you make, no matter what it takes to make it, the better you are. That cannot be the kind of mindset that a Christian has, or the kind of mindset that people try to follow. Young people trying to make their way in this life, trying to build a home life and establish themselves financially. There are ways to go about that. Work hard, spend carefully, save your money. But you don't have to follow those who just love money and who are greedy. It concerns me that Christians get caught up in things like pyramid schemes and, trading on unlawful commodities. That happened, I think, in North Alabama not too many years ago, where some Christians were caught up in something like that. And so And it all gets back to following somebody whose love is money. Whose love is money. We need to follow those whose love is the Lord. Who understand that money is given to us to be used to glorify Him. But we live in a world where money is certainly loved. Listen to what Peter says in 2 Peter, chapter 2 and verse 15. He speaks of those who forsake the right way and have gone astray following the way of Balaam. So here's this Balaam, who he goes on to describe, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Here's somebody who, you know, was willing to accept money to do what he knew was wrong. You follow that example, you're going to wind up where he did. The cynic philosopher Voltaire said that when it is a question of money, everybody is of the same religion. I don't believe that. I believe that most people in the world are of the same religion when it comes to money, but we who follow Christ are of a different religion. And we don't need to be taking our financial advice from someone who doesn't understand what money's for. And who thinks that its only purpose is for its accumulation. We don't need to be following those who are known to teach error. Second Peter chapter 2 again. Really, it's in that context that Peter is warning about following those who teach error. And he says that there were false prophets among the people, even as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. So you're going to have false teachers. We need to understand that and be aware of that as Christians. John writes in 1 John 4 about how we can tell who false teachers are by comparing their words to the words of the apostles. There are many false prophets, he says, that have gone out among you. So false teachers are going to exist. And if we're not aware of that, if we don't have our antennas up to be on guard for that, we can easily be taken in. And I guess the point that I want to drive to right here is that if you're following somebody doctrinally, if you're listening to their teaching, you're reading a book that they wrote, whatever it might be, you better make sure that they're teaching the truth. You'd better make sure that they have a reputation for teaching the truth as far as that goes. As I said a minute ago, on the first point, there are people who write books that are of a religious nature, spiritual nature, who do not know the plan of salvation, who do not tell people that Jesus said, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." We do not tell people that they need to repent of their sins and confess Christ in order to be saved. They tell people to do something like pray the sinner's prayer. We had a sermon not too long ago by a visiting preacher about the problems of that. But you got people writing religious books who don't know even the very fundamentals about salvation. And then you're going to read a book that they wrote or listen to a lesson that they preached about salvation? Again, what are we thinking? If someone is known to teach error on something, that's the last person you want to listen to. That's the last person you want to follow. Particularly in that matter and probably in a lot of other matters as well. Notice the next verse there in 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 2 says, they're going to be false teachers. Verse 2 says, many will follow their destructive ways. See, the problem is following. You're going to have false teachers. But the real problem comes when everybody starts following the false teachers. Many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. People speak evil of the way of righteousness and the way of truth because folks are following error. And related to this as well, obviously we don't want to follow those who are known to be wicked. Those you know are wicked. They should not be chosen as close friends. They should not be followed in your life. The wise man says in Proverbs 12:26, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked, the way of the wicked leads them astray. You have to pardon me a minute. I've got a thing going on here. All right. Proverbs 15 and verse 9. And talking about following those we don't need to follow. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who follows righteousness. If you follow the ways of the wicked, their problems are going to be your problems. So we mentioned a minute ago, if they don't know how to hold a marriage together and you follow their marriage advice, their problems are going to be your problems. If they don't know how to keep a job, raise a family, get along with others, you know, why would you go to someone who can't get along with anybody when you're having a problem with somebody? You ask them, well, what do I do in this situation? Well, whatever they're going to tell you is not going to be beneficial. Proverbs 30:22 and verse 5, thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards his soul will be far from them. Isaiah 59 speaks of those who run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood, and their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they have not known, and, and there is no justice in their ways. Thank you, Tracy. And I'm very sorry about my... I think it's a pollen problem. All right. Let's move on and think about, if these are the ones we're not supposed to follow, who are we supposed to follow? Well, obviously, we've already said that we need to be followers of Jesus Christ. And in so many ways. In 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 21, Peter says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. You should follow his steps. There are two things that Peter points out in this context about following Christ. The first of them is, he was willing to suffer. Following Jesus is not about living a life that's just as easy and comfortable and luxurious as we can make it. Following Jesus is learning to sacrifice for something that's worth sacrificing for. What Peter says in this context, he suffered leaving you an example. And that's actually the primary thing that he's talking about leading up to this verse in this context. He goes on to talk about Christ's sinlessness. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile again. And so we follow him in learning to sacrifice, no matter what it costs, in learning to suffer like he did, for a worthy cause and for the glory of God. But we follow him as well in our desire to live lives that are sin-free. I understand we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but we desire to follow Christ and to be like him in this world. We follow him as sheep follow a shepherd. In John chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, Jesus is describing himself as the good shepherd there. He says, when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, They know His voice. They will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. So we're listening to Jesus, and we're following His will in our lives. We're following His direction. Jesus said later in John 10 and verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Jesus knows who you are, but you know who He is. And you're following Him at every point in your lives. And so when it comes to questions like, well, how do I deal with this? Things I mentioned already, marriage situation, problem at work, interpersonal problem I'm having with somebody. What did Jesus say about that? That needs to be the first place we go. What would Jesus do and what did He say to do about that? That needs to be the first thing we ask for followers of Him. Listen to His voice and not to the voice of strangers, those who don't know Him and those who don't know us. And when we do that, we can see before us the clear path, the way to go. It is not, Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10:23, it is not a man that walks to direct his steps. It is God's business to direct us. It's us to follow Him. Jesus wants us to be His followers so that we might see where we're going. The clear path before us. In John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus spoke to them again saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." And then in Proverbs 4 and verse 19, in the Old Testament, the text said, "The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble." I'm talking to a group of people that know mentally, from an academic standpoint, that we need to be followers of Christ. But what I'm trying to convey this morning is that we need to make that a practical thing in our lives. What am I going to do today? What am I going to do in this or that situation? Jesus is the one who's leading me. Jesus is the one I'm following. That must be our approach if we wish to go to heaven. We must be followers of Jesus. And in consequence, we must be followers of the apostles. Paul commended the preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10. He says, "You have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance." I think in Timothy, Paul had a young man who was very happy that Paul would be his mentor, that Paul would show him the ropes, that Paul was showing him how to live as Christ would want him to live. And so Timothy was following Christ, yes, but he was following Christ as he saw him represented in the Apostle Paul. Of course, Paul was an apostle of Christ. He spoke with the authority of Christ, but Paul also was living a very exemplary life. Maybe not perfect in every respect. I don't know what sins Paul might have had to deal with daily, or maybe not so much daily, but occasionally. But the point is, he was living an exemplary life, and Timothy was following that. His teaching. See what he says. Look at that verse. "You've carefully followed my doctrine, my teaching. You followed my manner of life, the way I live, the way I conduct myself, the way I deal with people, my purpose, what my life is all about. You follow that. My faith, my long suffering, the way I deal with people who are maybe those who try my patience. You followed my long suffering," he says, "my love, my perseverance, my keeping on, keeping on." So what Timothy was doing, obviously, was looking at Paul's life and many aspects of it. And he sees how Paul is long-suffering with people. And he sees how Paul doesn't quit. When the going gets tough, Paul just keeps on going. He perseveres. And over and over and over again, in so many aspects of Paul's life, Timothy's looking at that and he says, "I see what Paul's doing there, and I'm going to do that too. You followed my pattern of life." The Thessalonians were encouraged to do the same thing. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. They followed the Lord, but followed Paul, the apostles, his companions perhaps as well. To the Philippians, Paul will write in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. Join in following the example of Paul. Follow him. Why? Because he's following Jesus. And it's a pattern for your life. The apostles left us a pattern to follow. Here's how to live wisely. Here's how to live well. Here's how to live in such a way that you can go to heaven in the end. Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 4:16, I urge you, imitate me. For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways as I teach everywhere in every church. Paul tells the Corinthians, you imitate what I'm doing, and Timothy will even show you how to do that. We just read how Timothy had been doing that. These are the people we want to get our life cues from when it comes to figuring out how to live. People like the apostles and ultimately, as we'll say in a minute, the followers of the apostles. Back to the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 7. Paul says, for you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. In 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 9, not because we do not have authority, but we make ourselves an example how you ought to follow us. The apostles are great examples to follow. Paul is a great example to follow. Peter, in many ways, great example to follow. And those who followed them are good examples to follow. I heard a man speak yesterday, and he said some good things. He said one thing that caught my attention, though, to the effect that we should be followers of Christ and not one another. And I suppose there might be some sense in which I understand what he's meaning, that Christ is our perfect example. But there is definitely scripture, and there's definitely common sense in looking around at those who are successfully following Christ and doing what they're doing. The scriptures definitely teach us to do that. That's part of what we have one another for. There are in this room people who have lived and are living extraordinarily successful lives for Christ. I don't mean they've made billions of dollars in the world. I mean they're living for Jesus. Some of them are the widows among us who lived godly lives for decades and who continue to be examples in so many ways about how to live as a Christian. Some of them are our elders and deacons who have met certain qualifications laid out by the Holy Spirit in Scripture and who are living in many of the aspects of their lives, very exemplary lives. These are the kinds of people you can look at and see their strong points and see how they're living Jesus in their lives. It's not them living, but Christ living in them, as Paul would put it in Galatians 2:20. We need to be following that. Pick out people who figured it out concerning their relationship with Christ, who understand what it means to be charitable, hardworking, long-suffering, kind, united with others. Those kinds of concepts. Pick those kinds of people out. There are all sorts of them in this room. And follow them. And that's not just Steve talking. That's what the Bible says to do. Notice again in Philippians 3:17, Paul had said, join in following my example and note those who so walk. So people who are walking like I'm walking, you look at them too and follow what they're doing. In Hebrews 3:13 and verse 7, the writer says, remember those who rule over you and have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. And I think that he's probably talking about the elders who were serving among them there. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 3, Peter is talking to elders here where he says that they're not to be lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. You know what you're supposed to do with an example? Follow it. The elders are supposed to be examples to the flock. And to the degree that they're following Christ, we must follow them. So I've mentioned several different kinds of folks who, in one or many aspects, are worthy of imitation. And I want to end with a group that we don't normally think of when we think of, well, here are people that we need to be like. Here are people that we need to be emulating and trying to follow. But it goes along with what Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. When he tells Timothy, a godly young man who had patterned himself after Christ and patterned himself after Paul, as we've said already, he tells Timothy, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers. We got some great young people here who are examples to the believers. Examples in conduct, in word, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. And in many ways, a lot of us who are older should be looking at what they're doing. Their enthusiasm about getting together, studying God's Word, singing praises, getting out, knocking on doors, inviting people to services, inviting their friends, living for Jesus day by day. In these very ways that Paul mentions here, where Timothy was an example, we've got some young people who are examples to us. So the bottom line is, let's be followers. Jesus paralleled us to sheep. Sheep are followers. Let's be followers of Him. Let's be followers of what the apostles said and did, leaving us examples. Let's be followers of one another. When we're doing the right thing, we're going in the right direction, we have exemplary behavior and conduct before our God, let's look around and say, I'm going to be like that, and I'm going to do what they're doing in that good way. This morning, ask yourself the question, who are you following? Where do you get your ideas from? Get your ideas about life from Oprah, Dr. Phil, or from Jesus and the brethren? Who influences you? If you would be a follower of Christ this morning, if you've never named His name, if you'd commit to living a life following Him, you'd wind up in heaven, for that's where He will be for eternity. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. If you're ready to do that today, we'd ask you to come while we stand and while we sing.